Welcome to the Deep Dive. It is Monday, March 9th, 2026, or I guess depending on when you're actually listening to this, it might just be bleeding into Tuesday, March 10th.
Right.
And let me tell you, if you were planning on having a sort of quiet, predictable week in the world of technology, you can throw that expectation right out the window.
Absolutely out the window.
Yeah, because a massive edition of the Tech and Tech Breakfast newsletter just dropped this morning.
Right.
And it outlines six explosive stories that are really fundamentally going to define the entire year in innovation.
It's a huge list.
We're talking about everything from AI totally taking over Hollywood backlots to folding MacBooks that look like they literally fell out of a sci-fi movie. So our mission today is to cut through all of that noise. We aren't just here to, you know, read you a list of spec sheets or PR statements. The goal of this deep dive is to figure out exactly how these massive announcements are going to change the way you work, the way you create, and the way you live. So joining me to make sense of this absolute tech tsunami is our resident expert.
It is great to be here. And looking at the sheer volume and scale of the sources we're unpacking today, I think there's a very clear overarching theme.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're seeing how previously elite, totally out of reach technology, whether that's a massive Hollywood production budget, a world-class camera setup, or high-level software engineering, is suddenly being placed directly into our everyday hands. The traditional barriers to entry for world-class creation they're practically vanishing overnight.
Okay, let's unpack this, because we have to start with what might be the biggest entertainment news of the decade. Netflix, Ben Affleck, and a San Francisco startup called InterPositive are officially partnering on a $120 million feature film.
Right, The Algorithm.
Exactly. It's a political thriller called The Algorithm. It's about a journalist uncovering AI election manipulation. But the big story isn't the plot at all. It is the production itself. They're calling this the very first feature-length film made with massive AI assistance. Now, I know when people hear that, they immediately picture a robot sitting in a director's chair wearing a beret.
Which is not what's happening.
Right. There are actual humans running this. Chris Terrio, the guy who wrote Sicario, he wrote the script. And the rumors are that Scarlett Johansson and Michael B. Jordan are negotiating to star. So if the AI isn't writing or acting, what exactly is it doing?
That is the million-dollar question, or I guess in this case, the multi-million-dollar question. The fear is always that AI is going to replace the core creative human element, right? But InterPositive is taking a very different route here. Mm-hmm. What they are doing with this AI is automating the grueling, highly technical, behind-the-scenes work.
The grunt work.
Exactly. The stuff that usually takes hundreds of people months and months to complete.
And the time savings they are projecting in this newsletter are just mind-blowing to me. Like, in traditional filmmaking, you have pre-visualization, which is basically how directors and cinematographers design to map out scenes before they even build sets or start filming. Normally, that takes around 6 weeks. InterPositive's AI drops that to 3 days.
3 days.
A 93% reduction in time.
It's staggering. And it goes even further into post-production. Take rotoscoping, for example.
Which is incredibly tedious,
yeah,
right?
Or,
that's where someone has to sit there and manually trace around an actor or an object frame by frame.
By frame.
Yeah, just to separate them from the background.
Right. It is agonizingly slow work. But the AI handles that instantly now. And then you look at color grading. Usually a professional colorist is locked in a dark room for 8 to 12 weeks, just meticulously adjusting the lighting, the contrast, and the tones of every single shot so the movie looks cohesive.
Sure.
This AI, which has been trained on thousands of cinematic masterpieces, does it in 2 to 3 weeks with the exact same professional quality.
And I imagine that translates to massive financial savings.
Mm-hmm.
Which is obviously what Netflix really cares about.
Oh, absolutely. That is what's going to turn Hollywood upside down. Netflix is projecting a 40% reduction in overall production costs. So a $120 million movie now only costs $72 million to make. That's $48 million in savings that can be redirected into securing better actors, shooting in better locations, or simply funding more films. Sarah Chen, the CEO of InterPositive, put it perfectly. She said, "We don't want to replace artists. We want to free them to focus on creative work, not repetitive tasks." Ben Affleck himself even went on record calling this the biggest innovation in cinema since CGI.
Look, I hear that, and it sounds great in a press release, but let's play devil's advocate for a second here. The Writers Guild and the Directors Guild have expressed major concerns about job elimination, and frankly, I completely get it. Netflix and Affleck are explicitly promising that no jobs will be eliminated on this specific production.
On this one, yes.
Right. But let's be real. If a studio realizes they can color grade a movie in 3 weeks instead of 12, aren't they just going to hire a quarter of the colorists for the year? How is this not a direct threat to the unions?
It's a very valid pushback, and the unions are absolutely right to be vigilant. The argument the studios are making is about a shift in workflow. The claim is that a colorist isn't out of a job. They just don't have to spend 12 hours adjusting the exact shade of blue in a single corner of a single frame.
They become more like supervisors.
Exactly. The AI handles the grunt work, and the colorist acts more like a conductor, focusing on the overarching visual aesthetic. Whether that actually protects jobs long term is highly debated. But if we pivot and look at why this matters for you, the listener, it's about the democratization of the medium.
How so?
Well, if a massive studio can save 40% on a blockbuster by using software, it means that very soon, small-budget independent creators are going to have access to those exact same tools. We are looking at a future where an indie filmmaker can produce absolute Hollywood-quality visuals right from their laptop in their bedroom.
That is wild. So if AI is making blockbuster filmmaking cheaper and more accessible, Apple is doing something weirdly similar with hardware.
Yeah.
Tim Cook just dropped a total bombshell on the industry. We are so used to Apple constantly pushing the limits of how expensive a phone can be, but they just unveiled the iPhone 17e. E stands for essential. And here's where it gets really interesting. The price tag is $599.
For a flagship class iPhone.
Yes.
That price point is incredibly aggressive. It represents a massive strategic pivot. They're essentially signaling that Apple isn't content just being a luxury, high-margin brand anymore. They want to completely devour the everyday mid-range market.
And what's wild is what you actually get for that $599. They didn't get the phone to hit that price. Obviously, yeah. There are trade-offs. You're getting an aluminum body instead of that premium aerospace titanium.
Right.
You only get one 48-megapixel main camera on the back instead of the big three-camera array.
Mm-hmm.
And the OLED display is 90 hertz instead of the super smooth 120 hertz promotion you see on the Pro models.
Yeah.
But, and this is the absolute kicker, it keeps the exact same A18 Pro chip that is in the top-tier iPhone 17 Pro. Tim Cook basically said they want to make the absolute best iPhone experience accessible to everyone.
And that chip is the brain of the whole operation. It means this cheaper phone runs the exact same AAA video games at 60 frames per second, handles the exact same heavy AI features natively, and operates with the exact same blistering speed as the phone that costs twice as much.
But why would Apple do that? It feels like they're just cannibalizing their own high-end sales. Why give away your best processor for half the price?
Because Apple isn't just selling a piece of hardware here. They are selling a gateway drug into their ecosystem.
Oh.
The business logic is fascinating. Currently, about 60% of the entire global smartphone market is mid-range. That's where companies like Samsung, Xiaomi, and Google have been absolutely dominating, pulling potential users away from iOS. By dropping a phone with a bleeding-edge chip at this price point, Apple is attacking that 60% directly.
So they take a hit on the phone to sell the accessories.
Precisely. Every single person who buys that iPhone 17e is a new, highly likely customer for AirPods, an Apple Watch, Apple Music subscriptions, and iCloud storage. They are sacrificing short-term hardware profit margins up front to lock millions of new users into their highly profitable walled garden. It forces competitors like the $899 Samsung Galaxy S26 into a very, very uncomfortable corner.
It is a brilliant, aggressive play.
Yeah.
But just when you think Apple is becoming the champion of the budget-conscious consumer, they completely flip the script on the other end of the spectrum. Enter the MacBook Neo, a $3,499 foldable laptop.
What's fascinating here is the sheer engineering audacity of this device. We are talking about a massive 17-inch OLED screen that literally folds vertically down the middle to transform into two 13.5-inch displays.
It sounds like pure science fiction. But let me tell you, if I'm spending $3,500 on a giant glass screen, my heart is going to skip a beat the first 50 times I fold it in half. The anxiety of hearing a crunch would just end me.
It is terrifying to think about.
Right. I mean, two screens lighting up at once sounds like a battery nightmare. And folding glass sounds incredibly fragile. How on earth is Apple making this actually work in the real world?
They had to push the physical engineering to the absolute edge. To handle your durability anxiety, the hinge is rated for 20,000 folds. That means you could fold it 10 times a day for over 5 years without an issue. And the screen uses an ultra-thin ceramic glass that's 50% stronger than their standard display glass.
Okay, but what about power? Running two massive OLED screens at once has to drain the battery in an hour.
That's where the M4 Pro chip comes in. It's incredibly power efficient, and it utilizes 32 gigabytes of unified memory. For those who aren't deep into computer specs, unified memory essentially means the main brain of the computer and the graphics processor are sharing the exact same pool of data instantly, so there's zero lag or duplicated effort. It makes the machine hypo-efficient. And to physically keep the lights on, they packed in a 100-watt-hour battery.
Which, by the way, is the absolute maximum battery size legally allowed by the FAA on a commercial airplane. They'd literally pushed it to the legal limit.
They did. But the hardware is really only half the battle here. The magic is what they call dual screen mode. This is where the productivity potential explodes. Imagine you are running Final Cut Pro on the top screen, and your entire editing timeline is spread across the bottom screen, acting as a giant touch interface.
Oh, wow.
Or you're writing software code on top and running the app simulator on the bottom. The upcoming macOS 15, nicknamed Sequoia, is absolutely crucial here. Releasing a foldable screen is a neat party trick, but if the operating system doesn't seamlessly adapt when you bend the device, it's useless. Apple is betting that Sequoia will make this hardware deeply functional for professionals.
So Apple is attacking the $500 budget crowd and the $3,500 ultra premium crowd on the exact same day. It's a massive flex. But let's shift gears from laptops to something that is constantly in your pocket, because the third big theme in today's newsletter sets up an epic philosophical battle over the future of photography. We have a war brewing between physical hardware heritage and artificial intelligence software supremacy.
Yes.
And in the hardware corner, weighing in at a very hefty 245 grams of leather and aluminum, is the Leica Lights phone.
Leica is a brand that has been defining professional photography since 1914. They are legends in the space. And they are making a very bold statement with this device. They aren't trying to make a smartphone that takes good pictures. To quote their CEO, Matthias Harsch, directly, "We want to make a professional camera that happens to be a phone." And the price tag heavily reflects that ambition.
Yeah, it costs $2,499.
Exactly.
$2,500 for a phone. But when you look at the physical specs, you start to understand why it costs more than my first car. It has a massive 1-inch, 50-megapixel main sensor. It has three cameras, all using legendary APO Summilux glass. I mean, they are treating this like a true optical instrument.
They absolutely are. That APO Summilux glass is key because it minimizes chromatic aberration, which, if you've ever taken a picture of a tree against a bright white sky and noticed that ugly neon purple or green fringing around the leaves.
We hate that.
Right, that is chromatic aberration. This glass corrects for that physically, giving you perfect colors and contrast. But the most incredible part is that it has a physical variable aperture. You can physically change the aperture blades inside the lens from f1.4 to f16, just like on a professional DSLR camera, physically controlling how much light hits the sensor and how blurry your background gets.
They even built a custom Android operating system called LightsOS that gives you total manual control over your ISO, your shutter speed, and your color curves. Plus, it integrates natively with the mobile version of Adobe Lightroom, so you can edit DNG raw photos, which are basically massive, uncompressed digital negatives right on the device. It is an absolute dream for a purist.
It really is. It's built entirely for people who believe that photography is ultimately about the physics of light hitting a physical lens, not about a computer algorithm guessing what a photo should look like. But that exact philosophy is what brings us to the complete opposite side of this debate.
Right, because dropping at the exact same time is the newly announced Google Pixel 10, coming in at a much more accessible $799. And Google is taking the exact opposite approach. They are leaning entirely into software and AI. The Pixel 10 is powered by their custom Tensor G5 3-nanometer chip, which features a neural processing unit that's three times more powerful than the previous generation.
This raises an important question about what a camera actually is in 2026. Is it a tool for capturing reality, or is it merely a data collector for an AI to interpret and reconstruct? Because Google's new NightSight 2.0 pushes the boundaries of what is real. It doesn't just shoot in low light anymore. It can shoot in complete pitch black darkness.
Complete darkness.
Yes. It uses a process called multi-frame fusion to capture 64 frames in 8 seconds. And the AI combines them to create a bright, perfectly clear photo where the human eye literally could not see anything.
It's essentially military-grade night vision. And then you have Magic Eraser Pro. We used to be impressed a few years ago when a phone could erase a stray coffee cup from a table. Now Magic Eraser Pro can remove entire people, large objects, and completely hallucinate the background to fill in the space as if they were never there.
The AI just paints it in.
Right. They also introduce Video Boost, which processes 8K video in real time. As you're filming, the phone is adjusting the lighting, stabilizing the image, and cleaning up the audio noise before you even hit the stop button. But I have to ask, is that even photography anymore? If the AI is generating half the pixels in the background, aren't we just painting with algorithms?
That is the core of the debate. It's the ultimate fix it and post tool, except the post happens instantly in your hand. The Pixel 10 is deeply integrated with Gemini, meaning the phone acts as an AI assistant that is constantly analyzing your images. It's a divide between capturing reality exactly as it is, flaws and all, versus generating an idealized, perfect version of it effortlessly.
So as you are listening to this, you really have to ask yourself which camp you fall into. Are you the purist? Do you want that hefty, beautifully crafted $2,500 Leica manually dialing in the physical aperture to capture the world exactly as the light hits the lens? Or are you the everyday user who wants to hand the heavy lifting over to Google's Tensor chip, letting the AI seamlessly fix reality for you so you always get the perfect shot for your social feed? It's a fascinating divide.
It really is. And that concept of generating complex, perfect outcomes effortlessly brings us perfectly to the final piece of the puzzle today, coming out of the Mobile World Congress in Barcelona.
Yes. Let's talk about Samsung Vibe, because honestly, this might be the most quietly revolutionary announcement of the whole batch.
Yeah.
Samsung has introduced an intelligent coding platform that runs natively on Galaxy phones, specifically the new S24, S25, and S26. And I don't mean a cute little educational app that teaches you basic Python loops. I mean a full integrated development environment, a complete IDE right there in your pocket.
The capabilities of Samsung Vibe are staggering. You essentially just describe the app you want to build in plain English. You can say, build a simple to-do app with add, delete, and edit functionality, and Vibe writes the entire project. The user interface, the logic, the database connections, and it can code in over 20 different programming languages, all powered by the new Exynos 2600 neural processing unit inside the phone.
But wait, I get annoyed just trying to type out a long text message or an email on my phone's keyboard. How on earth am I supposed to write thousands of lines of heavy syntax-dependent code? Plus, don't we already have AI coding assistants out there? Things like GitHub Copilot or Cursor? Why is this a big deal?
To address your first point, Samsung isn't asking you to type the code out manually on a tiny keyboard. They've built a system where you act as the architect, dictating and describing the structure to a multilingual AI builder that does the heavy typing for you. And to answer why this is different from Copilot or Cursor, it comes down to privacy and processing power. Those existing tools require a monthly subscription, usually $10 to $20 a month, and they require a fast, active internet connection because all of your code is being sent to external cloud servers to be processed.
Got it.
Samsung Vibe is totally free for Galaxy users, and more importantly, it is completely offline. Everything runs entirely on device. Your code never leaves your phone. You could literally be sitting on a subway train underground with zero cell service, and your phone could be compiling, testing, and debugging a complex application in real time.
That is incredible, and it goes beyond just spitting out the initial code. Vibe will debug your errors, it will optimize your code to make it run faster, and it will even write the documentation and the testing protocols for you.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the most impressive feature is what Samsung calls learn from your code. The AI actually analyzes and mimics your personal coding style. For example, if you're a developer who prefers using camel case, you know, where you smash words together without spaces and capitalize the middle letters like my new variable, the AI adopts camel case. If you like writing short, concise functions rather than long blocks of text, it adapts to that. It doesn't output generic, robotic-looking code. It writes code that looks exactly like you wrote it. TM Rowe, the head of Samsung Mobile, explicitly stated their goal is to democratize coding for people who aren't sitting behind a traditional computer desk all day.
It turns the smartphone from a device built purely for consuming content into the ultimate creation tool. You're waiting for a bus, and instead of mindlessly scrolling social media, you are literally architecting software. So let's take a breath and look at everything we've covered from this morning's Tech and Tech Breakfast newsletter. We have AI completely upending the traditional economics and workflows of Hollywood, saving tens of millions of dollars on set. We have Apple making massive aggressive power plays at both the $599 budget entry level and the $3,500 folding laptop extreme. We have Google and Leica fighting a philosophical war over whether a camera is a physical instrument capturing light or a software engine generating reality. And we have Samsung putting a master multilingual software coder directly into your pocket for free, completely offline. So what does this all mean?
What it means is that the traditional gatekeepers of creation are rapidly disappearing. Think about what it took to make a Hollywood-level visual, or shoot a professional-grade photograph in pitch black, or code a functional mobile application just 5 years ago. You needed massive capital, years of specialized training, and incredibly expensive dedicated hardware. Today, those barriers to entry have just collapsed. The listener right now has unimaginable power sitting in their pocket or on their desk. Whether you want to be a film director, a photographer, or a software engineer, the technology is no longer the hurdle holding you back. The only limit left is your own imagination and what you choose to build with these tools.
That is a wildly empowering way to look at it. Yeah. The tools are here, they are cheaper, they are vastly smarter, and they are sitting right in our hands waiting to be used.
And I want to leave you with one final, slightly wild thought to chew on as you go about your day. We've talked about all these isolated innovations as separate stories, but think about what happens when they inevitably start to merge. Yep. If our devices can already shoot high-definition video in complete darkness, if they can code complex software locally without the internet, and if they can seamlessly rewrite reality with generative AI, how long is it until our phones start generating completely personalized feature-length movies on the fly? Imagine a blockbuster film generated in real time just for you, using the visual aesthetic of your own camera roll and the narrative logic of your own coding inputs. We aren't just looking at the future of technology, we are looking at the dawn of personalized reality.
Oh man,
yeah.
A personalized, big-budget blockbuster generated specifically for me while I ride the train to work. That is both slightly terrifying and incredibly exciting. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the tech around you. Keep exploring what these powerful new tools can do for your own creativity. And we will see you next time.